Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you can find full episodes of the Take Command podcast, which today was a Dane Brugler sandwich. We talked about Logan putting together his big board, and then talked to Dane Brugler of The Athletic, author of The Beast, and then we talked about some of the things we talked about with Dane on the back end. So if you want the me and Logan only part of the show, I would... well, tell you there's a couple ways to do it. But there's one way. It's just multiple avenues. You got to listen to the full show. That you can do on YouTube watching it, or you can do in your podcast feed. Just search Take Command in your favorite podcast app. But the Dane Brugler part we have for you right now is today's edition of Not My Beat. Joining us now, Dane Brugler from The Athletic, their lead NFL draft analyst and author of The Beast. We told you off the top of the show, available now. It's incredible as always, Dane. And we're going to dive right in. I was actually reading through some of the edge guys yesterday and was reading Donovan Ezeraku's profile. And it sparked a thought in my mind that I wanted to ask you today. Ezeraku's a guy that had to earn it. I think 21st or 22nd, his own draft class at Boston College, not exactly a football powerhouse. And when I think back to the Commanders last year, they took a ton of guys who had similar stories, guys who had to earn it. So as you've done all this biographical work on these guys, who are some of the earn it guys, the guys that you think really stand out as guys that overcame something or found their way, from their high school time to where they are now as draft prospects to really elevate themselves that perhaps a guy like Adam Peters might be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a few. And that's my favorite part about doing this, doing The Beast, is learning, because there's so many players that are on the doorstep of the NFL, but they all got here in different ways. No two journeys are the same. And so it's fascinating to learn about each one. The one that immediately sticks out is Siobhan Revell from East Carolina, the corner, who high school, it was injury after injury. He was in a bad car accident, had to have surgery, and then another injury. And he also didn't have the grades. And so he heard from Division I colleges, but didn't have the grades to go. Goes to junior college route, and that was right around COVID. So the seasons are canceled, and next thing, he's working at Amazon at an overnight, working overnight shifts at a fulfillment center. And he didn't, the dream was still alive, barely. He basically saw signed up for a camp at East Carolina to go work out and basically a tryout. He worked 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. shift, and then by 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. the next day, he was at East Carolina for this camp, And he runs a 4.40 40-yard dash. His dad actually sent me the video. His dad was sitting in the stands and he videoed it and sent me the video. And there's a coach basically tracking him down after he ran to kind of show him the time and say, all right, we need to talk. And so from that, he got the scholarship at East Carolina. And then this past year had the ACL. And so Alabama wanted him. I mean, there was a lot of money being thrown around about LSU, Texas, Ohio State. A lot of teams wanted him after his great 2023 season. He stays loyal to East Carolina, goes back 2024, has the ACL injury in September, and he's kind of been the forgotten guy in this class. But he was a first-round pick back in September, and now it's like, okay, you're going to get a little bit – he's going to have a discount sticker on him because of that injury. But if anybody's going to overcome that, the adversities he's faced, it's going to be this guy. So, yeah, there's definitely a couple of these names. Jamari Caldwell, the defensive tackle for Oregon. I've heard of, you know, guys being walk-ons, and I've heard of guys coming from the JUCO level. I've never heard of a walk-on JUCO guy because that he had a walk-on at a JUCO to get there. And so it, just all these different routes and journeys are fascinating.
That's crazy because, like, both those guys you mentioned are, like, excellent football players. You know what I mean? So the fact that they were kind of missed in the process is just – it's kind of mind-blowing. But it speaks, again, to, like, their passion and love of the game. And so for me, like, one of the things I love about the Beast is just – again, this is, like – is how you get all this stuff, man. Like, how do you get, like, do you just, like, calling families? You calling agents? I know you said you talked to scouts. Like, there's so much stuff in here. The thing that gets me is the pro day information. Like, can you talk about that and how you get it all in this crazy document called The Beast?
Yeah, it's a really exhaustive process to track down.
Probably an understatement, right?
Yeah, the month of March does not happen for me. I have never seen the month of March. And now that I have four kids, it does make it difficult when you have dance and softball and baseball and all that kind of stuff. So, but you know, with the Beast, my big thing is I want to create something that I would want to read, you know, and if I'm an NFL team, I would want to read this. I would want to be interested in this. And so all this stuff is NFL verified, you know, the testing information. I take a lot of pride that 2,600 players have testing information that I'm getting directly from NFL teams. You know, it helps fill, you know, those data points help with the context of who these guys are. So it's an exhaustive process tracking down all those from scouts who I wouldn't be able to do my job without kind of my network of scouts who really helped me out. And, you know, it could be as easy as a simple conversation where we're bouncing players off each other or just tracking down these numbers. And then it's a lot of talking to players, getting on the phone with them or make sure at All-Star Games, East-West Shrine, Senior Bowl, Combine, making sure I'm getting FaceTime with them to ask them about, you know, hey, when did you start playing football? Hey, tell me about your family life. Who introduced you to football? And then from there, it kind of grows. And, you know, everyone, like I said, has different stories about how they got involved with football. For some, it was love at first sight at 4 years old. For other guys, they were a basketball player all through going into high school. And then sophomore year, they kind of realized, all right, I'm not going to make it to the NBA. Let's give football a shot. And next thing you know, they're on the fast track to a possible NFL career. So yeah, it's a lot of talking to people and the relationships because I've been doing this for almost two decades now. And so all the relationships I've been able to cultivate over the years is something that helps me put together this finished product. But it really is a year-round type of thing. It's not like I just get started on this in January. Starting June 1st, right around Memorial Day, is when I'll really dive into next year and get started for the 2026 class.
So we were just talking before you popped on, Dan, about some of the guys and their stories and how it could affect their draft stock one way or another. Who's a name that you would not be surprised to go a lot high? I'll be positive and negative here. So not surprised to go a lot higher on draft night because the character is great and teams fall in love with them. And you just think that someone's going to take the shot on the person. And then who's someone, whether it's off field, medical, whatever, that there's going to be a bunch of fans screaming on draft night, how in the world did my team pass on this player? And he's going to fall down the board hard.
Yeah, I mean, Mason Taylor, the tight end from LSU, you know, obviously everyone knows his dad, Jason Taylor. I think teams are just very comfortable with him. Obviously, we know the top two guys with Colson Loveland. Tyler Warren. Yeah. Those guys are going to be top 15 picks. And then could there be a third tight end that gets in there? And I think, yeah, Mason Taylor could be, because he's just a very clean type of prospect. You know, I think another guy that's kind of a little bit of a late riser, Femi Oladejo from UCLA, I'm sure you guys,
Go Bruins.
You
know,
Mr. Bruin over here.
Right. Exactly. So he played all over. And so is he a true edge rusher? Do we have to play him more of a hybrid role? Teams have been trying to figure him out, but they're really interested because he's straight out of Central Casting with that body type and the way he looks, the way he can get after the quarterback. So teams are really intrigued with him. And I think, you know, they're going to be more than willing to take a gamble on a guy that was productive. He had 13 and a half tackles for loss last year. But also you think there's more there. We can get more out of him. So yeah, Femi Oladejo is one of those guys. Trey Amos from Ole Miss has been one of those late risers as well, just because he crushed the process and he crushed the season as well. At this time last year, teams were talking about him as maybe a sixth round pick. You know, he was a backup at Alabama, transfers to Ole Miss, and really played at a high level. Passes defended, the ball production was terrific, and then goes to the combine, runs a really great time, better than teams expected, really low 4.4s. And then at the pro day, the positional workout was fantastic. I had scout tell me it was one of the better cornerback pro days he had seen this cycle. So Trey Amos is one of those guys where if he sneaks into the top 30, I don't think that'd be a surprise at all. And then, you know, a guy that maybe drop a little bit, you know, I think this might be low hanging fruit, but, you know, James Pierce obviously has been talked about a ton, the character, and, you know, he has first round talent. But as one scout kind of put it to me, I just want to be convinced that he loves it. I want to be convinced that this is what he wants to do the rest of his life. And, it's okay if you don't love football. Like, there's a lot of guys in the NFL that don't love football, but they take it seriously because they know it's their livelihood and it's a paycheck. And, you know, you wouldn't be able to know by their play that they don't truly love it. But with a guy like this, and you're potentially going to draft him in the first round, you just want to get a good feeling from him that you're going to get the best out of him consistently. And I think scouts have been kind of wishy-washy on whether or not they got the right answers from him.
And interesting, like you said something there that I think I'd like you to just double click on with regards to crushing the process. Cause you look at like Mason Taylor, you know, runs a 4.7 athletically, like not maybe, you know, like he's not a Colston Lovely. He's not a Tyler Warren. He's like kind of in a different bucket. You know, Trey Amos, kind of same thing. I think he tested better than people thought. Oladejo, I think, is another great example of a guy who didn't test amazing. But when you say crush the process, can you maybe elaborate on what that means from like an interview type standpoint?
Yeah, and it's obviously there's different steps to the process. There's the All-Stars, the testing, and the combine, and then the pro days and the workouts. And if you go to an All-Star game and you show out there, then you go to the combine and you test well, you interview well, the medicals are clean, and then the pro day you work out well, it's like, okay, you don't just forget the tape. The tape should always be 80%, 85% of the evaluation. But at the same time, there's a reason we have these steps in the last few months. The All-Star game helps, especially with smaller school guys or guys that played against lower competition, to see them go up against better comp. That really helps put into context their skill set. Then the combine, combine's kind of like taking the SATs. Like it's everyone's taking the same test, and it kind of gives you a better idea of who they are as athletes. And then, you know, the pro day and the personal workouts. 30 visits as well. You know, the 30 visits, I think people kind of, maybe they look at it maybe differently than I do, because if you are a clean prospect and we know everything about you, we're not bringing you in on a 30 visit because we don't need to. But if we have question marks, that's where we're bringing you in. And I've heard a lot of stories in the past where teams have crossed a name off the list based off of how the 30 visit went, because they had questions and they weren't able to answer those questions during the 30 visit. And so teams use 30 visits for different reasons. And, you know, I don't want to paint a broad brush, but it's something that is, I'm bringing the guys that have question marks to my building about those 30 visits more so than guys that I just really genuinely love.
Makes sense. You mentioned Pierce. I feel like Pierce and then Mike Green are two guys on the edge, and obviously Washington's looking heavy at edge. That the character off-field stuff has come up a lot, and thus their range is very wide. We know teams are doing their homework on Green with the two sexual assault allegations, high school, and then one that kind of in a roundabout way causes him to leave University of Virginia. Have you gotten any sense of what teams have found as they have done their homework and where his status is with a lot of teams?
Yeah, and it's tough for those of us on the outside because we can really only go based off of what the facts are. And with Mike Green, yes, two allegations. Talking to some teams, they feel okay with it. They're comfortable with the situation. It's more of it he said, she said, and there was an investigation with both, and no files or no charges were filed. And so it's like, okay, now you hate that there's two, obviously. It's like, all right, is there a pattern here?
And if you know about those types of issues, like the charges getting filed is actually very rare because of the nature of he said, she said, et cetera.
Right. But I think as teams have dug into the details of each situation, I think they felt better about it as opposed to worse about it. And just talking to teams about it, talking to people around Mike Green about it, it's something that... And like talking to his coaches, both at Virginia and Marshall, both coaching staffs rave about the person, not just the player. We know the player is good, but they also rave about the person. And so I think the character feedback from everybody around him is certainly going to help him. I think it's ideally this is you don't want to draft a player that has this on his resume. But at the same time, you don't want to pass on a player if it's just not something that is true and not something that you have to worry about in the future. So I think teams are a little bit split, but there have been more teams that have been okay with it as opposed to the opposite.
Interesting.
Is that compared to James Pierce? Because you said James Pierce is a guy like for character concerns is sliding. I think this is maybe a good illumination of like the investigative process. And then I've had coaches tell me that I'm friends with still in the NFL that basically if a guy doesn't love ball, they're undraftable almost. You know what I'm saying? And so how do they compare in terms of the way teams are looking at both those athletes?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Mike Green, it's really just those two incidents, those two allegations. Kind of what the main thing with Pierce. It's more of there's nothing criminal necessarily. It's just
football character.
Yeah, are we going to get the most out of this player? Yeah. We know when he's firing on all cylinders and it looks good. It's okay. We feel great about it, but you talk to some people at Tennessee and not all that feedback is glowing. Like I said, when you talk to Virginia coaches, Marshall coaches, they rave about Mike Green. But when you talk to Tennessee coaches, it's a little bit different. And, that's why when you're a scout, it's like, okay, you have to be part detective, part, journalist, part psychologist. Like you have to really try to understand what makes this guy tick. How is this guy wired? Is it something that maybe he's just immature? Maybe he's just a younger guy and it doesn't, he just doesn't have a good idea of how to represent himself in the right way. And it's something that we can work with and bring him along. Some cases it's just, he is what he is and he doesn't really like football. It's just something to do. It's not something that's ever going to be the driving force in his life. And so it's really hard to draft a guy like that in the first round. And for some teams, he'll be off the board completely. It's not even someone that they would consider if he was available in the seventh round. So you think about all of the misses in the NFL draft and how many of those were because of character and because of not just getting in trouble off the field, but not everyone's wired to be in an NFL locker room and do everything it takes work and do all of that. Like that's where most of the misses and busts come from and why scouting will always be an inexact science.
Last one for you. I know you got about a minute left here. So Shamar Stewart is the guy that I'll use is kind of the question asker here, but guys who have certain levels of production, like his pressure numbers are really good. Sack numbers are not. The athletic testing profiles, excellent, but you're like, okay, but eventually you're an edge rusher. We need you a sack quarterback. And also because college schemes and pro schemes are so different, how do you go about trying to make sense of that? I know now limiting that to like a 90-second answer is probably impossible, but we'll do our best here. Of how do you try to make those projections knowing that the ask of a guy like Shamar Stewart Stewart in the NFL is going to be different than what he was asked to do in college. And you have to try to make all of those numbers and the tape make sense.
Yeah. And I mean, Jackson Dart, quarterback at Ole Miss, same type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where what he did at Ole Miss is wildly different than what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL. So really, yeah, position by position, you could pick out a few guys where it's a projection. Armon Membu, one of the best players in this draft, was a right tackle at Missouri. Can he play left tackle? I mean, that's something the Patriots are asking themselves. With Stewart, yeah, ideally you want that sack number to be higher. I think, you know, the fact that his pressures were higher is a good sign, because you want a guy that affects the quarterback, affects the pocket. Now, ideally, yeah, you want him to get the quarterback on the ground. But if he's affecting the pocket and affecting that backfield action, then he's doing his job. I think with Shamar Stewart, how he was used at A&M, when the amount of times he was asked to pin his ears back and go were just not many. And so the full context of Shamar Stewart really paints a different light than just the 1.5 sacks this year. But he is a tricky player, because you love the athletic profile, you love the flashes, but where are you going to feel comfortable drafting a player like this? And for me, my answer will be different than one team, and that team's answer will be different from another team. Mm. It's just kind of your appetite for risk. And for me, I'm going to take my chances on high upside pass rushers. And so I would take Shamar Stewart a little bit higher than maybe some other people, but I certainly understand the reservations with him. It's not like he is a super clean prospect that I'm going to stand on the table for. I would just be more willing to bet on that pass rush upside.
No doubt. Dane Brugler, lead NFL draft analyst for The Athletic, author of The Beast, which is available now on The Athletic's website. It's its own microsite. It's not behind a paywall. You just go on there and get your draft information. All
get your fix.
17,000 prospects worth that are in there. That's only a slight exaggeration. Dane, appreciate your time, sir, and enjoy the rest of the process here until you and Robert and Derek and Bruce Feldman are sitting there on draft night for your draft show.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks, guys.
The great Dane Brugler with us here today on Take Command, a full episode including more talk on that Shamar Stewart conversation and how we try to square what we see on the college tape and project it into the pros, as well as why Logan had so much trouble this year making his big board, is on the full episode wherever you get your podcast. Coming up next, it is time for Never Read the Comments, so we hear from you. For better or for worse, via the internet next.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Offman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. It is time right now, 5:30 on a Thursday. This is one of those weeks, Anthony, by the way, just real quick, where it's like, there's no way it's Thursday or it's only Tuesday. Oh, my God, it's still Wednesday. And then all of a sudden you're like, it's already Thursday. I feel like it's one of those weeks.
Yeah, it's Thursday, Craig.
It's Thursday, and it's just after 5:30, which means it's time to read them comments.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
You leave your comments on this radio show / YouTube multimedia program on the on-demand segments that we cut up and make nice and easy and watchable for you at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980. And Anthony, we start with someone whose username is Math Don't Lie. And this probably works better in print than it does on me saying it out loud as our appetizer comment today before we get into some of the big topics of the week. But just trust me that it's going to be worth it in the end. You good? You ready?
Yes, sir.
So Math Don't Lie commented on our NFL rules discussions. And he says, before there is talk about banning the tush push, let's first demonstrate that the tush push is both beatable and unsafe. By studying rugby rules and weight restriction limits, that is how you beat the tush push. Step one, hire two heavy defensive linemen, a.k.a. sumo wrestlers. Step two is the offensive line plunges forward into the ground. The first sumo wrestler climbs over the offensive line as he goes towards the QB. Step three, the second sumo wrestler then jumps on the first sumo wrestler to form a 1,400-pound, three-person vertical human wall that clogs the center so that no QB can go through. Again, the reason I've been promoting this nonstop is because the NFL teams need a way to actually stop the tush push. The strategy of using sumo wrestlers to stop a rugby play is clearly beatable and unsafe for the offensive lineman whose neck, back, and head would be crushed by 1,000-plus pounds, whereas the sumo wrestlers are safe because of their layers of fat. If you agree, please check out my YouTube video on this topic so that more NFL fans, more NFL media, NFL coaches, and NFL front offices see it. Thanks.
Wow.
Believe it or not, this absolutely moronic idea is not the reason I pulled this comment. The reason I pulled this comment, Anthony, is because when he spelled out tush push, he spelled it T-U asterisk asterisk. He censored the word tush, a phrase often used to not say a different word in front of literal children. We used the three-year-old version, tush. Would you prefer tushy? Tush. And he censored it.
Wow.
Wow. So I just, the only thing I responded to here was, what, why did you censor the word tush? And he goes, YouTube has a ban policy on the word tush in comments, but not in live streams. I have been typing in the comments and in the live chats, and sometimes I forget when switching between the two. So apparently, I guess maybe in live chat comments, because he could have used it here, it would have been just fine. They banned the word tush. I just think this guy may have been sat on by a sumo wrestler. And that would explain everything. Because other than that, buddy, I got nothing.
I don't either. I mean, I guess we saw Micah Parsons versus a sumo wrestler.
We did. And, you know, on that front, compelling. I just don't know that if you need a foot, a sumo wrestler's get off ain't going to help you that much, because I don't know how quickly he's going to react to the football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go against one. I wouldn't also want to have to build the pads for that dude. Also, now you're playing, if you do literally anything but the tush push, you're doing 9-on-11. Because those dudes are not getting sideline to sideline.
Yeah, not at all.
I think there's probably some other issues with putting sumo wrestlers in. But yeah, human vertical mountain might stop the tush push.
Okay.
Great idea. Math don't lie.
Nope.
Maybe you should stick to math. Okay. From math to history, Anthony, one of the big topics of the week for us as Alex Ovechkin scored goal 895. By the way, the Caps have been off since then. Finally back in action tonight. But the record-setting goal sparks a DC Sports GOAT discussion. And the angle we kind of took on it was, who's the most important athlete in the history of DC Sports? But I kind of tried to make this, to make it more interesting, because Ovechkin is the best athlete to ever play a sport for DC teams, because there's no one who is better at their sport than Ovechkin has been at his, with the exception of Michael Jordan, who did all of the greatness in a different uniform. But truly, and then you got, you know, Dion or Bruce Smith, who did most of their damage other places, and in fact are somewhat punchlines in their DC sports eras. But if you think about, like, the best guys in DC who mean the most to DC, which also adds like a community off the field element, which also accounts for the popularity of the given sports, I think it becomes a much more interesting discussion. Jason Marr 8 is about 20 years too early, but he just said it's Jaden Daniels. I think currently, yes, most important. Historically, we got a little bit way to go.
He's foreshadowing, that's all.
Yeah, all for it. I would love that. I think that would be good for us personally, Anthony.
Yes.
Sitting in the seats we currently sit in. At J Main 21, Daryl Green or Art Monk? I was a little surprised Art didn't come up, but I think also it's hard to say Art. And I love Art. One, let's go Orange, as you're wearing the proper sweatshirt for this discussion. But I've met Art. Incredibly nice man, great human, but it was a bit reclusive as opposed to Daryl, who's maintained his presence in the community more outwardly over the years. Art definitely did plenty of stuff, but also as great as Art Monk was, which is truly one of the best receivers in the history of the game, I think Daryl Green is probably more widely regarded as a better corner than Art Monk was a receiver, and considering they played in similar eras at similar times, I have a hard time putting Art over DG, as great as Art was, as much as I would like to, because Syracuse.
No, that's fair.
And also, Daryl Green played for 20 freaking years.
Yeah.
Du Bois Blessed 6103. I just read him, Anthony. Boys with a B. Du Bois Blessed 6103. This is no shade or shot at Ovi, and he deserves all the love he is receiving, but Daryl Green belongs in this conversation of DC greats. NFL is no doubt more popular... the more popular sport across the country, that along with two Super Bowl wins, makes the case for him. I do think, on top of the popularity of football, Ovi does only has one championship. Daryl yeah. Green and those other football players from that era have two or three, depending on how many of those teams
they
played on.
What about MVPs, though? Or defensive MVPs? Like, Daryl doesn't have any of those.
That, totally fair. And only it's individual versus team and all of that. I don't think you can have a correct answer. Someone did come at you, I presume, pretty hard, though, Anthony. Urban Gorilla, 3022. Hey, you wrong, Lil Tony. Unless there's another comment that I missed, I don't think that this was directed at anybody but you, Anthony.
Are they talking about Big Tony?
It says, hey, you wrong, Little Tony.
Now, my nickname is Little Tony in my immediate family. I don't know if you knew that, Craig. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Okay.
I did know that.
Yeah. Little Tony? Oh, all right. Come on. Tell me more, Craig.
Somebody hit you with a Little Tony.
Yeah. It's
Daryl Green, hands down. Playing 20 years at cornerback is insane work in any era. Sports fans are in awe of LeBron for his longevity, but no one even mentions DG. And to top it all off, he ran a 4.440 at 39 years old and the only corner to shut Randy Moss down in his rookie year. Remember, Green's 5'8", Moss is 6'4". Let that sink in.
Mm.
What you got now, Little Tony?
Hey, look, I got nothing for you. Like, I salute Daryl Green for what he did his 20 years. I mean, it's tough. Like, everybody has their own opinion. Some people going to go DG. Some people going to go OV.
I think it just depends on what you value more, yeah, on or off the field. If you want to encompass off the field and, like, a larger impact, I think it's Green. If you want to say purely who was the best player for their sport in a DC jersey, they both played 20 years. Ovechkin's a better hockey player than Daryl Green is a football player, and Daryl Green's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's not taking anything away from Daryl. It's to say Ovi's one of the best 5 to 10 ever. Ever.
It's also the fact that everyone keeps pointing out DG played 20 years. Like, Ovi also played 20 years.
Yes, correct. Counting. Just, yeah. And he's still awesome in year 20.
Yeah.
Scorpio the Great One says, 1, Ovechkin. 2, Ovechkin. 3, Ovechkin. 4, pick a football player. 5, pick a baseball player or a wizard. Monsta, this is spelled in the Boston way, M-A-W-N-S-T-A, 9075. In Real Things today, by the way, we're going to have an all-timer from Kevin Harlan where he just read what was in front of him. I am that person right now. I am Ron Burgundy. Monsta, 9075. It's Ovechkin and it's not close. And then I think this kind of gets to the crux of it, right? Scorpio the Great One commented again and said, Alex Ovechkin accomplished more longer, held in higher regard to his respective sport. Not close. Every argument for Green can be said for Ovi, but Ovi was better at his sport and was the focal point for his championship. Number 2 is Green. And then OG log, or it's OGL, OGL, OGL. And I think it's just that. OGL, 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 OGL.
I think so.
What a dumb segment this is.
OG log, log, log.
But then there's another L at the end, which is why I think it's OGL, OGL, OGL.
Yeah.
OGL. There's 4 of them.
Good point, good point.
But the L is capitalized, in case anyone cares. OV cultural relevance in DC is relatively tiny because hockey is tiny. Also, crucially, he doesn't cross demographic lines. OV is basically relevant to white people and only Maryland. And some relevantly recent DC white transplants. I think that's overstating a bit. We can go larger than Olney. Shout out to Olney. But... the point of impact, to me, that's one of the stronger arguments on like Green side of it, or a guy like Wes Unseld even, is the impact they made on a larger group of people just because of the relative popularity of football to basketball to hockey, or even the Nats, if you want to, you know, throw in someone there. I mean, the center, obviously, you know, Walter Johnson's the greatest Washington baseball player ever, and he played in an era where none of us were alive and most of our grandparents weren't alive. I just think that point is why it's not Ovi in a runaway and why this is even a discussion in the first place. Like, if you had an Alexander Ovechkin of football that had played for the Washington franchise, then that would be the answer and it wouldn't even be close. You need something higher than Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, Ovi sort of kind of did make D.C. more of a hockey town. Like, I'm not going to say I was the biggest fan. Again, I went to my first hockey game this year.
And you're definitely not a white guy from Olney.
No, I'm not. But I have friends that are from Southeast D.C. that always go to the games, have the jersey, take his little brother. I'm like,
100%.
Why am I late to the party?
And I think that's the thing, right, is Ovechkin expanded the popularity of hockey, which is why I think you can definitely make this argument. All right, the other big comment getter this week, there were 2 more, and then I got a fun one to end because of course I do. Is my guy Tony Squares, who's a content creator, good friend of mine. We do a weekly YouTube show on Mondays. We call it Hoffman and Squares because, you know, between the Hoffman Show and Hoffman and Squares, Anthony, we're real creative with names around here.
I see.
Yeah. But Tony, going back to 20, I think it's 16. He did the first ones in 2017, so 2016 season. Has ranked every single quarterback in the offseason that made a start the previous year. Mm. And he does a lot of work for this and does a really good job with it. Like, I was ready to, because Tony's good for a wacky take every now and again. So it makes it fun. But I was like ready to hate someone on his list somewhere. And I was just like, actually, this is a pretty good list. This is nice work out of you, sir. So we talked about the list on Monday's edition of Hoffman and Squares. And a couple of pieces of feedback from that. Rob B2Q8P says, I think Hurts is wildly overrated. I think Hurts came in at 6 or 7 on Tony's list, behind Jaden Daniels, around a class that included guys like Justin Herbert. But I think Hurts is wildly overrated. When you compare other playoff teams with the Eagles have better starters at 80% or the position, and sometimes more. That's not Jalen Hurts' fault, and we shouldn't punish Jalen Hurts for that. I think we can acknowledge that and acknowledge that maybe some of Hurts' weaknesses are hidden by the fact that he plays behind the best O-line in the league and has a safety blanket at running back that he can just hand the ball to, and that guy can score, and the receiving talent and all of that. But Jalen still does a sensational job within what he's asked to do, and that's why he's not in the top four with, like, the four. Jaden Daniels is ahead of him based off what we saw last year because he can do more with less. But I do think it's worth pointing out what Jalen brings mentally to the game and what he brings from an accuracy standpoint and what he brings as a runner is all rare and valuable. And so I have no problem with him being in the top 10, even if I wouldn't want to necessarily switch him to many other circumstances in the league. He's not as switchable. He wouldn't be as successful in other places. But considering what he can do and what he's asked to do and understanding that's a part of the rankings, I think he's got to be in the top 10.
Yeah, definitely has to be in the top 10. He wins. Like, you can't, like, football is a winning
It's a team game, but, like, at some point, if we can't say quarterback's the most important position in the sport and then be like, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, QB wins, sure. They're overrated in some circles, but they're not nothing either. Figuring it out, managing the game. My one big complaint, or my biggest complaint, was where Drake May was. May was in kind of a clump with Penix and Bo Nix and who was the other guy? Who was the other rookie that started? Or four of them.
Williams?
Oh, yeah, Caleb. Caleb was, I think, at the bottom, and then it was Bo. Or no, it was Penix at the bottom, then Caleb, then May, then Nix. From like bottom to top, and they were behind guys like Kyler and whatever. And I was like, I definitely would put May at the top of that bunch, if not higher, above some of those young veterans that are in kind of their, are you really a starter type tier? Your Trevor Lawrence's, your Kyler Murray's, etc., who are kind of mid-tier starters. And the reason is because what May did, given he had the worst coaching and talent circumstances around him in the league, was pretty sensational. Now, it was not perfect, nor was it always pretty, but that dude was taking the hardest tests in the league every single week, and he made their offense look palatable when Jacoby Brissett, who was supposed to be like this baseline, this is a low-level starter, high-level backup guy, was horrendous in those same circumstances. And so Resident Freak, it says F-R-E-Q, like frequency, not freak, other kind of freak. 528 says, I think this is a bad argument. May did play better than Brissett. You can't equate May to Nix. If it was not for JD5, Nix probably would have won Rookie of the Year. And I just hate when people pretend like circumstances don't exist. Like, Bo Nix didn't have the support of one of the great offensive play callers and structure guys of all time in Sean Payton, and the literal best defense in the entire league. Like, what? It ain't that hard moving forward which guy you'd rather want, Drake May or Bo Nix.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page there. All right. Do you want the announcement or the fun one first, Anthony?
Let's go announcement.
Okay. I like the way you think. So the most commented on post from last week was our chat with Jeremy Green, who is an NFL draft analyst. He's based in Asheville, North Carolina, hosts a show down there. He's great. And the comments suggested it. They love this dude. That was a fantastic episode. Love this guest. Listen to this on the podcast. I would have never pictured his voice to him. He was great and full of info, but man, I thought he was older. I also agree. Jeremy told us that he's like 38, and I was like, wait, you're what? My man hasn't slept very much lately. He's watching a lot of film. Drew Hoffman, 1461, no relation. This guy is great. H. Bum Kim says, this dude, Jeremy Green, is both hilarious and impressively knowledgeable. I don't care if he looks like he eats Cheetos on his mom's couch. If Logan respects his opinions, his opinions are worth respecting. Honestly, I like Jeremy even better than the PFF geeks. Can we get him signed to a long-term deal?
Oh, wow. Thoroughly impressed with my guy.
One, be nice to Trevor Sikkema. He's my friend. PFF geek. Two, we're not going to sign Jeremy to a long-term deal. I don't have that kind of power. But the announcement, Anthony, is that when Logan is on vacation next week, back by popular demand, Jeremy Green is coming back to take command. So I got John Keim lined up for a mailbag episode on Monday or Tuesday is when we'll tape it. So if you have mailbag questions for me and John Keim, get those in at HoffmanShow.com or on Instagram at Hoffman.sports. And on Thursday, Jeremy Green and I are going to do a 7-round mock draft. Now, we'll let the computer pick a lot of those, but we will do every Commander's pick, and we will work slow enough that we can examine the possibility of trades. So, we will take control of the Commanders for every pick they've got, all five of them. Jeremy Green, back with us next week on Take Command. Comment section, you're welcome. Last but not least, Anthony. You know how I know Denny Advia had a good game? Because that one video of me saying he was overrated by Wizards fans last year gets commented on every time. I'm like, oh, Denny must have had 30 last night. He's having a great second half of the season. Happy for him. But Guts N says, you used to reply to comments. What happened now? And my answer was, Anthony, y'all got boring.
Oh.
Ah. I've replied to enough of them. They can go look at my replies to the other comments to see why all of those people that are like, delete this. There's still time to delete this. For what? Because I'm still right. By Wizards fans, and also for what the Wizards were, people that think Denny Avdija couldn't possibly get traded, what a mistake, were and will always be, unless Denny turns into like a Hall of Famer, wrong. They got two first-round picks for a guy that had never averaged 15 points a game in a season and didn't until this month because he's on a tear as of late. Yeah. We'll see if he can maintain it moving forward. By the way, the first of those first-round picks is a guy named Bub Carrington, who, one, will join us in 30 minutes, and two, is 19 years old, and his numbers aren't that far off of Denny. They're certainly better than what Denny's were at 19. So timelines, contracts, playing time availability for other players, what happened is, you're listening and reading comprehension are poor. Y'all got boring, and that's why I stopped mostly responding to you doofuses who find that video every time Denny has a good night. It literally, I check my comments in the morning sometimes. I'm like, oh, I guess Denny had a good night last night. Good for Denny. That's the thing. Other thing, I'm rooting for Denny. Yeah. I want him to succeed. And that's for never read the comments, and that's why you never read the comments. But we do, and then we read the best of them here on the show. Yours could be in there next week, so make sure you're subscribed on YouTube at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980. When we get back, we did our mock draft 1.0 in the 4 o'clock hour. Anthony and I will recap what went down and share some thoughts, analyzing our own draft next before Bub Carrington does join us at 6:30 here on the Team 980.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.